Good evening, everybody. So I wonder what hope looks like to you. We've heard a few suggestions, but here are a few more on the pictures coming up. Hope could look like a pub or their pub quiz, hoping for a miracle with crossed fingers. It could look like this, a hope for what is inside the present, or like this, or even like this. Maybe. It wasn't so very long, but hope looked like this. Still a bit painful. Sorry about that. But I came across this image recently that really rang true to me as an image of hope. There's a quotation there from the Message translation of the Bible, the biblical book of Acts. I will pitch my tent in the land of hope. And what I like about this picture is that I think this is what hope feels like. Hope sounds like a beautiful or even a gentle concept, but I think it feels like a tent in a storm. It feels like a howling gale and a person clinging on to a guy rope for dear life. And if that is true, if that's what hope is, then you've got to be really sure that what you're clinging on to will hold. And this is why I love to be reminded by these readings at a service at this time of year of a hope that has held. A hope that has held across the centuries. A hope that has held across countless storms, large and small. Because it's a hope that holds me. I believe there's a hope that's big enough for the world to hold on to, and intimate enough for us to hold on to as individuals, and it's strong enough for the gales. So the writers across the ages that we've heard from today were writing in situations which weren't pretty and weren't gentle and weren't on the surface of things very hopeful. We polish them up at this time of year when we put them on a nice looking Christmas card. But the reality is that we heard readings written in situations of crisis. The storms were national or even cosmic, and they were very personal and individual, family crises as well as national crises. Isaiah, who we heard from, was writing at a time of turmoil where the people of God had found themselves attacked on every side, splintered and not sure of what the future would hold for them as a people. And we were reminded by our brilliant drama which was adapted from Luke's gospel, that Jesus was born not into a nice, comfortable situation, but into a nation under occupation, born into a family without any power, without much money, in insecure housing. I was originally going to say, Jesus wasn't born into a nice, stable situation. Okay, I'm glad I edited that bit out, yeah. So this isn't a gentle story with a gentle concept of hope to decorate our homes with. This is the testimony of witnesses who have come through storms, large and small, and they report back to us over the ages that there is a hope which holds. So is this hope enough to hold us as we go into 2017? Because there are lots of other things holding out a hope for us this Christmas time. We do have a choice here. I want to do a quick quiz to see how much TV we're watching as a community. So this is an advertisement test. Who this year, you can shout out the answers if you know, who this year is holding out the hope of Mrs. Claus? Mrs. Claus. M&S. Marks and Spencer's is holding out the hope of a Mrs. Claus who can solve all your present dilemmas. Who's holding out the hope of a transformational trampoline that every species of animal likes? John Lewis. Yes, you're right. One more. Who is holding out, this seems extraordinary, who is holding out the hope of cloning yourself to make more than one of yourself so that you can be in lots of places at once? Sainsbury's. So I've heard these epic Christmas advertisements described as the new Christmas sermons of our age. But I'm going to call them on this tonight. I'm staking a claim. They need to up their game. Apologies for anyone who works for any of these companies, or if you work in the advertising industry. The production values are great, the budget is good, but frankly, Tolu's team here presenting their drama, and Isaiah and John and Luke, they have a better story to tell us, don't they? For this world, for today, for 2016 and 2017, we need more than Mrs. Claus and magic trampolines. We need a hope that is strong enough to hold us. And I have found that that hope is in Jesus. There is a hope big enough for the world. There is a hope which is intimate enough for you and me. And let me tell you why. I was at a party recently, and someone had to leave, and they weren't sure of the way back to their bus stop. So three of us were talking to her at once and trying to give her directions and telling her where she should go. And she looked more and more confused the longer the three of us spoke at her. Our directions weren't much good for her to put her hope in. We started to get Google Maps up on her phone to see if she could find the way on Google Maps, but her battery might have run out at any time. So her phone wasn't great to put her hope in. Then someone said, "I'm going the same way. I'll go with you." And this is the promise of God. This is the hope of Christmas. This is the best news that we can talk about at this time of year. This is the promise of God who, as our reading from John put it, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Another writer in the Bible, Peter, writing after he'd met Jesus, wrote this: "He has given us new birth into a living hope." This is not hoping for the best, putting a brave face on it, crossing your fingers and earnestly hoping it might all work out. This is a God who took on flesh and blood at a particular moment of history in an occupied little town of Bethlehem to anchor our hope, to say, "I'll go with you." The hopes and fears of all the years and all the world were met in a God who took on flesh. And this is why I believe this is a hope big enough for the world, because it's from a promise from a God who made the world. And this is why I believe it's a hope intimate enough for you and for me to cling on to, because it's the promise of a God who doesn't stay distant, but shows us what he is like, the direction he always travels in, coming to be born among us, coming to be with us. The God who was born in Jesus didn't wait for hopeful times to be born. He was born right in the midst of human difficulty and darkness. So whatever it is you're sitting with today, whether it's mistakes you've made or things that have been done to you, however you feel looking forward to 2017, God isn't waiting for you to have it all sorted before he comes to you. His promise is always, "I'll go with you." All we have to do is say yes. So it's 33 years on, and the baby has grown up and shows us on the cross the extent of God's love. He loves us so much that he wants us to be free of our failings and our fears. So he made a way to our freedom on the cross. And then he shows us, coming from the empty tomb when he rises again, that he conquered death, the final enemy. The tool of the terrorist and the tyrant is defeated by this God who in Jesus died and rose again. God has the first word in creation and the last word in resurrection, and his word constantly to us is love. 2,000 years on, and this baby is still transforming lives, as we heard from Bethany and Andrew today. And as many of us would testify, this is a hope big enough for the world to hold on to. And it's a hope intimate enough for each one of us to hold on to. A dear friend of mine posted this picture on Instagram back in March. And it's a beautiful word, hope, a beautiful concept. And she takes beautiful photographs. But she posted it because she was packing up the flat that she and her husband and her little boy loved. And she was packing up because of her husband's illness. He can't work at the moment, so they've had to move away from a home and a town that they love to a very uncertain future. A month later, after they'd moved, she posted this: "Hope as firm as an anchor." Hope was and is a very big deal for them. Hope for these dear friends is not a nice accessory or an add-on. It's a lifesaver. It's an essential. It's a guy rope in a gale. So I feel as though I'm speaking on their behalf when I say, you've got to be really sure that what you're clinging on to will hold. In fact, I spoke to her just on Thursday, and she said to say this. She said, "Say, it's not about how strong your grip is, because sometimes your grip can't be that strong, but it's about what you're clinging on to. It's about the strength of what you're clinging on to." They have found a hope that holds them. So in 2017, where will you put your hope? Where will you pitch your tent? Will you pitch your tent in the land of hope? Maybe this is a decision you've already made. You're already clinging on to the hope that is in Jesus, the God who came to say, I'll go with you. Maybe you've got questions. Maybe you want to test the strength of the guy rope before you cling on to it. From the first Tuesday of the new year, there's a space to explore those questions over a drink at the Victoria Inn at our meetups. There are flyers around the church. Oh, I've just lost mine. Here we go. There are flyers around the church to show you details of that. So if you want to test that hope and to ask questions of it, not only is it a hope strong enough to cling on to, it's a hope strong enough to wrestle with. It's a hope strong enough to test, to grapple, to ask questions of. This is a hope which holds. So this Christmas season, may you know this hope for yourself. May you know that it is big enough for whatever comes in 2017. May you know that it's close enough for you. All of you have a candle as you came in. And can I recommend this? Perhaps each one of us could find a quiet moment in the Christmas season. It need only be a couple of minutes. Take a quiet moment by yourself to light the candle again. And have a moment where you choose what you're putting your hope in for 2017. God has given us new birth into a living hope. And as you reflect on what you want to put your hope in, you may want to talk to him, you may want to pray. And this may be something you've done many times over or never done before. But God has given us new birth into a living hope. So when we pray, he hears. I'm going to pray now. And I invite you, if you'd like, to pray with me. And again, if this is something that you've done many times before or never done before, it's something that we can share in together. So shall we bow our heads? And I'm going to pray for our new seasons together. Mighty God, creator of the universe, would you go with us? Would you go with us into the next season, the next year, the next day? As you were born in Jesus, would you be born in us today? Would you take what is behind us, the things that we've done wrong, the things that we've clung on to, which haven't been of you, and make us new? And walk with us into a new life of freedom and adventure and wholeness with you. Amen. Take a moment of quiet while we sit with that prayer and with the knowledge that God is hearing us as we pray. And if that's the first time you've prayed a prayer like that, can I encourage you to tell someone? You can tell me if you like. Tell the friend that brought you. Tell somebody at the back. We're going to share a moment of quiet together before we stand and sing our final carol.